Hello friends, Denny Pruteau here. It's my objective in this lesson to draw a distinction between teaching and preaching. This is a vital distinction, and we ought to see it as it emerges from Scripture. The distinction between the ruling elder and the teaching elder is common, and we see it in Paul's letter to Timothy in chapter 5 and verse 17. Listen to verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. You notice that Paul speaks about preaching and teaching, but he also speaks about ruling. There are ruling elders and there are teaching elders. Several years ago, when I attended the Synod of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, each of our name tags had a designation, T-E or R-E. My name tag read T.E. Denny Pruteau, meaning teaching elder Denny Pruteau. I wondered to myself, where is the preacher? Where is the minister? Where is the one who pastors and proclaims the truth of God? Teaching is dramatically different from preaching. And Paul mentions both teaching and preaching in this text in 1 Timothy 5:17. J. Adams, in his little book, Preaching with Purpose, also draws a distinction between preaching and teaching. He talks about the lecturer's stance and the preacher's stance. Listen to what he says. Listen to how he defines each of them. He says of the lecturer talks to the congregation about the Bible, about what God did long ago and far away, to the Israelites, in the third person, he and they, in unemotional, uninvolved reporting style. Here is the teacher. The teacher has a good outline. The teacher goes through his points. And the teacher talks about the Bible to the congregation. It's as though the Bible were over here, and we call the congregation to look at the Bible over here and understand what the Bible says over here, long ago and far away. And the teacher does so in an unemotional and in an unattached style. Now, we believe in teaching. We believe in the impartation of information. And in my definition for preaching, I emphasize the fact that the preacher works at changing the minds of individuals who are in the congregation. This is part of the task. And T.H.L. Parker, in his discussion of Calvin's preaching, makes this arresting statement. He says, "Without explanation, there is no exposition, and without application, there is no preaching." Yes, there needs to be explanation of the text. People need to be taught the content of the Bible and the content of various Bible texts. But the penchant of the preacher is to speak about the Bible in the third person, he and they. The preaching style is quite different. Listen to what J. Adams has to say about the style of the preacher, or the preaching stance. He says, "The preacher talks to the congregation about themselves from the Bible, about what he, that is God, is doing, and they ought to be doing, in the second person, you, in an emotionally involved but controlled style." Yes, the preacher speaks directly to the congregation from the Bible. It's not talking to the congregation about the Bible. It's talking to the congregation from the Bible. And the preacher employs the second person. One of the challenges I've had as a professor of homiletics at RPTS is to get men to use the second person. They frequently fall back on utilizing the first person, we, rather than the second person, you. One of my former students told me after he had been in the congregation a while that he experimented with utilizing the second person versus the first person. And he said, you know, it's amazing, Professor, that when I began to use the second person, there was more of a connection with the congregation. And certainly this is the case. This man began to speak to the congregation from the Bible and to indicate to the congregation their duties and responsibilities before God. And he did so in a way that emotionally brought attachment to the congregation. And the Word of God was connected to the congregation. How amazing this is. And so I suggest to you that you consider the difference between preaching and teaching. Oh yes, we do teaching in our preaching. And we do some preaching when we teach. But listen again to what T.H.L. Parker says. Without explanation, there is no exposition. Without application, there is no preaching. I believe he's correct. And he's following the example of Calvin in giving this little pithy statement. Application is important. Application must accompany explanation. Application must accompany exposition. And without application, there is no preaching. And application takes the truth of the Word of God and pierces the hearts of the people in the congregation. And preeminently, the way you do this is by utilizing the second person, by saying, you are exhorted by the Lord Jesus Christ to come to Him. Listen to His words. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, here is the second person used by our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises rest, not as an abstract concept, but personally to you who come to Him. And so, be mindful of this distinction between preaching and teaching. And when you enter the pulpit, if you are a minister of the Word of God, preach the Word of God. Direct the thoughts of Scripture to the congregation from the Bible. Speak to the congregation in the second person and apply the Word of God so that the people are emotionally connected, yet in a controlled way, emotionally connected to the truth of the Word of God. Let me say one more thing about the use of the second person. Charles Ryrie, that great expositor of Scripture, has a little pamphlet called The Simplicity of Preaching. And in this pamphlet, he talks about using the second person in the congregation. And he puts it this way. He says, the first person, I and we, is reserved for kings and princes. The second person, you, is reserved for the common people. As individuals who preach the gospel, you and I are those who are on the level with the common people, and we exhort the people to follow the Word of God, and we apply the Word of God to the hearts of the people. So, understand the difference between preaching and teaching, and exhort the people with the truth of God, utilizing the second person in a emotionally controlled way. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again with some other pointers for preachers.